The Peace and Liberty Podcast, episode 13. Hey everybody, Stephen Clyde here. You never know who you're going to meet when you add someone random on Facebook. I met a guy who's doing great work and in a state that desperately needs it. Today we're going to be speaking to Nicholas Wildstar, who is running for governor in California. Now, if you don't know what's happening in California, it's been a mess for a very long time. Taxes are through the roof, and therefore the cost of living is expensive in most parts of the state. California has been described as pretty much a country itself in that its GDP would make it the sixth largest country in the world. So hopefully Nicholas can help explain what he would do to try to help clean up this mess. But we're going to link to a bunch of stuff at the end of the show. And if you want to support Nicholas, check out his website, which is wildstar2018.com. Nicholas, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, man. This is actually the first time me and you have spoken. And it's funny, I was just thinking recently that I'd love to talk with someone from California because I want to get a better idea of what's going on there. And like, obviously, you're right there. So tell us about you. What was your political background growing up? And did you grow up in a conservative family, liberal family, religious?
I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so things were a lot different growing up there than in California. But I grew up in a single household family. I first was raised by my father up until about 9 years of age, and then I was with my mother up until 18. They had split custody of me as a child, and one of those millions of Americans that grew up in a pretty much, again, in a single household under their with their mother. So life was pretty much difficult. And she had three other children. So I was one of four. And then she ended up having, one of four children. I do have other siblings on my father's side as well. So I was pretty much the middle child and kind of had to find my own way when it came to paying for school books or pictures or field trips and stuff like that. You know, Christmases were sparse, that whole deal. But I also was a child that was raised on welfare. So I know a lot about growing up in that system, as well as being raised in the Black community, of course. So things were quite the experience, but I would say because of the guidance of my parents, I was able to steer away from many of the traps of the, you know, inner cities that where individuals end up getting caught in some sort of violent scenario, whether it be gangs or selling drugs or, you know, any situation such as that. And thankfully, I was able to steer clear of it all and was very involved in theater in school. That kept me out of trouble a lot. I was in a lot of plays as a young actor in school, and then I started to get very involved in music once I got later into middle school and through high school. So my music career started to develop a lot once I moved out to California. After I graduated from high school, I graduated, and about 10 days later, popped up here in California. I've been pursuing my career in music ever since. So,
wow. I should have added to your intro that you're a rapper now turned governor elect, should say.
Yes, exactly. Yes, my stage name is Q-Ball. That's Q-B-A-L-L. My first album, The Real, is available on Amazon, and I have songs on Pandora, Spotify, iTunes. And one of my songs is in the movie Scary Movie 4. So,
wow.
Yeah, quite a lot as really? An independent musician. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to check out some of my music.
I did. I actually I was listening to your SoundCloud yesterday, and I love the music because I obviously see you you put libertarianism in many of the themes of the songs. So I think that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. My new music is more promoting of libertarianism in all its forms, of course, with individual freedom, us not having to be forcefully taxed or having to do something against our will. So it pretty much just speaks about it again and ends off by asking people to vote libertarian. So My new music has more of a political type of a tone to it. And of course, if anyone would like to hear it, please do as Steven did and go on my SoundCloud page, check out my new album, Evolve or Die. It is available for free. So you can listen to it, you can rip it, download it, share it with a friend, all that good stuff. But just make sure that it's heard. That's what's most important.
Yeah, I definitely second that. I'm going to be linking to all this in the show notes page. So I had other questions for you, but you said you grew up on welfare. See, what I'm trying to understand is how did you eventually come to libertarianism? Did you come from a conservative family, a liberal family? Did you become more political as you became an adult? Or
yes, I was always engaged in politics in the sense I was always one of those people that were aware of what's going on in the world. I was watching, you know, what's that called? Primetime Live and 2020 and all of that good stuff when I was a teenager
yeah.
in school. Those were my favorite shows. But
how old are you now?
I am 36.
36, so, all right.
Yes, sir. And I would say more so, again, because of the nature of my family's background was more laxed and dependent on certain government provisions, such as welfare, especially when it came to my mother. When it comes to libertarianism in itself or becoming a libertarian, I don't really gravitate towards the labels of being conservative or liberal. They tend to become more politicized and have now been perverted to mean something that I originally understood it to be. For instance,
well, I guess to be more clear,
being a liberal.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm more of a classical liberal in its definition.
Yeah. That's exactly what I call myself.
Are.
Yep, exactly. I guess what
exactly.
I guess
we all are as Americans.
And to be more specific, around what date do you think you would started calling yourself a libertarian? Maybe that's more specific.
I would say around 2010, once I got very involved in the Occupy and Anonymous movement, I became aware of Dr. Ron Paul and his desires to end the Federal Reserve. After I learned more about his promotion of course, a limited government, learning about fiat currency and occupational wars throughout the world and all of the provisions that seem to be imposed upon us by government, statutory laws that are completely unconstitutional. And he just pretty much clarified in a simplistic way as to how government is intruding in our lives and shouldn't be, and is doing so illegally. And the only thing that's keeping that boundary between us and them is the Constitution. And because these few people that we've hired to do the job are refusing to uphold their oath to acknowledge the Constitution and act within those bounds, government pretty much has gotten out of control. So I started to then call myself a libertarian, a little L libertarian. And here in the party, we have our little L's and big L's. So I was a little L libertarian, meaning I was just libertarian minded and did not become a big L libertarian, a pay dues member of the party. Up until last year in the presidential election. So I just made that shift then, but again, have always been liberty-minded.
Yeah, I mean, this is a breath of fresh air hearing, especially because you're running for governor, because it seems like you really get it. You know, you've actually listened to what Ron Paul and people have to say, like you understand the Federal Reserve. There are libertarians who think this is all about legalizing pot, or you get what I'm saying. You know, it's so much more than that. And it's great to hear that you
Definitely.
Really get it. So, you know, politics, you mentioned, was not your first career choice. In fact, you mentioned you went to Los Angeles recording school at age 17 to pursue a rap career. Whatever became of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, thing about music and a lot of other jobs and professions in general is, in order to get further, it's all about who you know. And with the entertainment industry, that became more than apparent, you know, once I've acquired all of these technological skills and supposedly thought that now that I have this piece of paper, I'll be able to walk into a recording studio and, you know, I'll be able to walk up to Dr. Dre and say, hey, let me mix your next album.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, so it's still about all about paying your dues, working hard, getting out there, grinding, earning a reputation and a name for yourself, and doing all of what it takes to pursue your own, increase your own pursuits and get them further. So getting all of that knowledge helped me become a better musician on the backside, behind the microphone. But with regards to excelling my career as a rap artist, it didn't do much at all. But
that's really interesting. And I was also going to ask, are you familiar with Eric July?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you got to check this guy out. He's the front leader of a band called Backwards, and they're a libertarian themed band. Oh, really? I guess this was leading into my next question. I guess you get this a lot, but what kind of response have you gotten being a black libertarian? And I mentioned before, my friend Eric July, you should hear some of the stuff he gets online. He gets called an Uncle Tom. He gets called a betrayal. Or I guess how it end is, what would you say to someone that says you're betraying the Democratic Party?
Well, the Democratic Party has betrayed us. Especially as a black American, I mean, the majority of their policy supposedly is to help the people of the inner cities and people of color, and they do exactly the opposite. The drug war, their expansion on welfare programs, I mean, it's completely enabling the individual opposed to allowing them to be responsible for themselves. And growing up as a child on welfare, I saw that myself. I seen the abuses firsthand. I still see them to this day with other family members and friends and people around me, and taking advantage of the system. And I completely disagree with there being any type of provision for anyone up into the year for 18 years. That's just absurd. Why should I, someone else that's not involved with you or your personal decision, have to pay the fee and foot the bill for your choices? So anyone that wants to, I guess, disagree with my with me not being a Democrat doesn't really understand how the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are both the same. They both promote forceful civil asset retrieval,
forfeiture,
and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Forfeiture. Thank you. So they both promote that role still is necessary within government, and it completely is not. It goes against who we are as human beings and our respect for one another and the golden rule of what we know is true as humans.
Honestly, that was beautifully put. I don't even know what to say to that. That was beautifully put. I didn't expect an answer that good.
thank you very much.
But obviously, again, we're going to be linking to wildstar2018.com. We're going to be linking to your Facebook, your Twitter, your YouTube, your SoundCloud, and we're going to link to all your other stuff. I guess to kind of wrap this up here, and I'll probably think of a few other questions through this, but I'm sure you're aware of this issue being a California resident, but there is constantly a talk of secession, and there's a good reason for it. You know, Southern California holds pretty much all the political power in that state, and we know how Southern California votes. How do you feel about secession? I mean, would you be in favor of letting the North and South just part their own ways, and the North has their own government and the South has theirs? Because it seems hard to deny that the South does have all the political representation for the whole state.
Exactly, they do. And because of the way that the jurisdictions are drawn, a lot of people up North are robbed the opportunity for being represented equally in our Senate. So up North, there's maybe one representative for six or eight counties, versus here in Los Angeles, they have multiple representatives for just that district in itself, for just that county.
I didn't know it was that bad. I didn't know the numbers. I knew that it was bad.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that it was very unfair. Yeah.
It's terribly imbalanced.
Wow.
And the people up North, that's pretty much just what they're wanting, is fair representation in Congress. They want fair representation from their elected representatives in those areas, and they should be allowed to do so. So for the state of California, for its legislative body to deny them that fundamental right, is completely immoral and unethical in itself. So I would definitely stand by any districts or collective of counties that decide that they want to create their own state here in the state of California. Of course, my goal as governor is to unite everyone and hopefully remove and alleviate those errors within our government that people feel like make them want to get away from it altogether. Especially with here in the state of California, you not only have the secession movement wanting us to break away from the union altogether, but then you have intersectional movements where you have like the Jefferson State Project that wants to become their own state. You have the Three States California Initiative, which originally started as a Seven States California Initiative. So the people throughout the state pretty much, again, are feeling robbed of their inherent rights as residents. And it would be very imperative for us to step up as elected representatives and politicians and be able to give our constituents what they want. I would definitely do exactly that. And if I'm unable to, would honor their Article 1's, you know, I believe it's Article 1, Section 3, request for a separation of state. So it's pretty much...
This is all so great to hear. I mean, I'm so glad to hear that you understand what I'm talking about. Again, some libertarians, they're just kind of talking point libertarians. And man, you're a really, really clear-headed and well-spoken guy. I just want to praise you for that. So so again, one last time, it's going to be wildstar2018.com. I'm going to link to his Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, and everything else in the comments section. I wish you the best of luck in your race. And when is that the actual election?
The election date is June 5th, 2018. So please, June 5th this year. People, I get asked, when is the election? You know, I'm like, yeah, exactly. A lot of people don't pay attention to midterm elections. And these aren't what's most important. It's because we talk about what's going on in our nation, but what's happening in your state, wherever you are. And here in the state of California, we have a poverty crisis growing out of control. We have a homeless crisis growing out of control. And it's all under Democratic control. Is that going to change? Most likely not, since we have a top two primary system, which means the candidates that get the majority of the votes, regardless of party, are the only two that gets represented, that gets to proceed to the general election. So it's a possibility, because of the way things are set up, we could get stuck with two Democrats come June, come November. So that's why it's extremely imperative that every California resident vote in a June 5th primary. That's when you need to vote, and that's when you need to vote libertarian.
I will add that to the show notes page. You're definitely a guy I would support, because honestly, there's libertarians who are imperfect and that I find hard to support, but you're an awesome guy, man. It's so great to meet you. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll spread this video around to make sure we get people supporting you, man.
Oh, thank you so much, Stephen. I appreciate you having me, and I hope that everyone listening for the Peace and Liberty podcast enjoys the show. And please just tell anyone and everyone about my campaign for governor and help this liberty movement gain some traction, because that's all it needs is us, we the people, to get involved and be that fire to this engine.
They're going to love the show, and they're going to love you, Nicholas. So we'll see you next time. All right.
Absolutely. Well, till then, take care. Peace and blessings.
All right. Take care. All right. Well, tomorrow we have a good friend of mine who is an Austrian economist at a college in Arizona. So you won't want to miss it. See you then. Hey, everyone. Please like, follow, donate, subscribe, and share. Any donations will be used to reach more people.